The clock is ticking on whether to list the greater sage grouse as an endangered species. Such a listing could all but shut down mineral development in the bird's habitat. States already tackled sage grouse protections. Now it's the federal government's turn. It's been 30 years since the Land or Resource Management Plan was revised. While updating it, the Bureau of Land Management took the opportunity to review sage grouse protections. But as Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports, there's lots of disagreement over the merits of its approach.
The Land or Resource Management Plan is hundreds of pages long and covers a lot of ground.
Wilderness, wild horses, wildlife, including sage grouse, lands and realty, recreation, cultural resources, minerals, all the things that BLM does across the landscape.
In other words, it's not exactly light reading. But in fact, buried in all those pages are some groundbreaking approaches to managing landscapes on the large scale. As Kristen Yanone, the lander planner for the BLM, says,
it's been called a plan of firsts. It's first on a lot of things.
For instance, it's the first of 15 plans scheduled to be released covering the 11 states located in sage-grouse country. Four of those plans are in Wyoming, home to one-third of the world's remaining sage-grouse population. Another first for the Lander RMP is its adoption of the so-called Core Area Strategy. That's the state of Wyoming's all-purpose policy tool for designating important sage-grouse habitat. And the federal government's decision to use that strategy is what's causing the most disagreement about the RMP.
There is decades of research available on the grouse and its habitat.
That's Director Mark Salvo with Defenders of Wildlife.
We know a lot about this bird. The less disturbance that occurs in breeding, nesting, and brood-rearing habitat, the more sage grouse you're likely to have.
And Salvo doesn't think the core area strategy does enough to minimize the disturbance. He says it ignores the BLM's own science because it only protects the birds seasonally, not year-round. And it only gives sage-grouse leks, the breeding sites where the males perform their famous dance, a buffer zone of 0.6 miles. He points out that a scientific review team for the federal government, the National Technical Team, recommended a 4-mile buffer.
The National Technical Team report was guidance to be used in land use planning, not a prescription of hard and fast rules that must be applied in every situation.
That's Lander Field Manager Rick Vandervoet. And the governor's natural resources policy advisor, Jeremiah Riemann, agrees. He says the buffer zone rule has to be flexible to manage the needs of multiple land users.
I think that the criticism is comparing apples to donuts here.
He says you can't compare the 4 miles recommended by science to the 0.6 mile. That's because the 4 miles is recommended for males and females during their breeding and nesting period. The core strategy actually gives them 5.3 miles during that time. Riemann says the 0.6 mile applies only for male birds. But again, the 5.3 mile protection is only enforced seasonally. And so the argument goes round and round. But whatever the details might be, there's the issue of whether the core area strategy will even work. Ed Arnett is the director of Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, a sportsman's group. He says studies show the core area strategy won't increase the populations. It will only keep them from decreasing. He says the federal government needs to aim higher.
I think people tend to forget that the core strategy is not necessarily a panacea to save, you know, the sage grouse and develop long-term increases in populations. There's still projected losses even with the core strategy in place.
But Julia Stubel with Wyoming Outdoor Council says the job of the management plan isn't to focus exclusively on sage grouse. She says it does a good job of balancing protections for lots of wildlife species.
I mean, all of our big predators and our kind of neat species, lynx and possibly wolverines. And so that decision to keep those areas well protected from industrial development has amazing impacts for the other wildlife species beyond the sage grouse.
And she says there are protections beyond those for sage grouse that will also protect the bird.
The National Historic Trails Corridor is off limits to oil and gas surface use, but that crosses sage grouse core area. So it's not done in the name of sage grouse, but there are overlapping protections that strengthen the overall impact of the plan. And that's what the Oregon Outdoor Council sees as being really strong about this plan, but also why it shouldn't be a template or a model used in other places.
Right now, that's the BLM's plan for the rest of the management plans being drafted. But Stubel says using Lander as a cookie cutter would be a mistake, since every landscape is unique. She says each one deserves its own tailored plan. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.